It's true, I'm at the Cove this week, and I've chosen the parables of Jesus. It's so funny. I've got a copy of the original edition of my book on the parables. It says, The Complete Guide to the Parables. I want you to know I'm known for my humility. And when I read that, when I saw that, I died a thousand deaths. I wrote a letter to that publisher, I think it's Baker Bookhouse. I said, if it goes into a reprint, please, just call it The Parables of Jesus, which that's the way it was. But I hadn't seen that since the original. I think I'll take a photocopy of it and show my friends that I am the expert on the parables. I've chosen one of the talks I'll give this week. I don't expect many of you to be there, but it's one of my favorite. It has to deal with the subject of prayer. Jesus gave this parable with an express purpose. He didn't always tell us why he gave a parable. He just would just give it. Sometimes he would explain why, and this one he did. And so I want to read to you from Luke 18, verse 1. And so he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, Give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down or by her continual coming. Then the Lord said, this is Jesus speaking, Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this his most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what is said will be received as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say what needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be clear, simple. I pray that this will be edifying, even life-changing, and a word that brings great honor and glory to your name. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. The question we ask is, why is it that sometimes we ask for something and you get the answer soon? I know what it is to ask for something and that day it's answered, or maybe in a short period of time. And then there are others that I put that I'm still praying years. And I think, Lord, why have you not answered? Well, here's what we know is, Jesus understands this. This is not anything that he is discovering. This is one of God's ways. We may not like his ways. God lamented, Hebrews 3, verse 10 of ancient Israel, they have not known my ways. God wants us to know his ways. I remember on a plane flying from New York to Miami some years ago, and I was doing my daily Bible reading. I follow Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan, and that particular day, I was reading from Exodus 33, verse 13, and it's when Moses said, Lord, if you really are pleased with me, then I wonder if you know what Moses asked for. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord said to you, I'm pleased with you, now what would you like? And you could ask for anything. Have you ever fantasized if the Lord came to you like he did to Solomon? Name it. What would you like? And you think, well, really? I can have anything? Yep. No matter what it is? Yep. Have you ever wondered what you would ask? Well, when I read that day on the plane, I was smitten. I've read that verse many, many times, but I saw it that day as if I'd never seen it before. And I was convicted because I had to say, in honest, I don't think I would have asked for that. I wish I had thought that. I've tried to rectify it since, and I do pray it now. But it just lets you know what Moses was like. And he said, Lord, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. I'm afraid I might have asked for something else. But I've since put it right as best as I can. And that's what I ask for. And one of God's ways is that you can pray in his will and not know you are praying in his will. And the reason Jesus gave this parable is partly to elaborate on one of the first stories that we have in the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes the story and tells how the angel came to Zechariah, who was chosen by lot to burn incense in the temple. And it was a big deal for Zechariah. In those days, there were at least 10,000 priests. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and most priests never dreamed that one day they would get to burn incense in the temple. You say, what's so great about that? Well, it was important then. I mean, huge. And Zechariah was chosen by lot to burn incense in the temple, and it was a big occasion. His family came and all wanted to be present for the occasion. Well, Zechariah wasn't expecting anything to happen. It was to get through the liturgy. But then while he was doing it, lo and behold, the angel Gabriel, the same angel that had appeared to Daniel, says, fear not, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Well, what made him afraid was just the sight of an angel. I think all of us would have been afraid. But he says, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. And you can see from the context that Zechariah is saying, prayer? What prayer? Well, says the angel, you and Elizabeth prayed for a son. Oh, that prayer. Well, that was 20, 25 years ago. There must be some mistake. I mean, he first says, have you had a look at my wife lately? She can't have a baby. I'm an old man. Can you imagine the stupidity of arguing with Gabriel? I think if Gabriel showed up with me, he said something, I would just believe it. But Zechariah argued back. There's got to be a mistake. Well, Zechariah says, all I know is that I've been sent from the throne to give you good news. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. You're to call his name John. But then Gabriel says, I've got some bad news. Before I go back to heaven, I've got an unpleasant duty to perform. You're going to be struck dumb and not able to speak because you don't believe a word I've said, but which will be performed, will be filled out. It will happen. Well, What happened was this. Zechariah is struck dumb. And what would have one time been the happiest day of his life, to be told that he and Elizabeth would be parents of a son. There was a day that Zechariah would have told you, if this were to happen to me, I would be the happiest person ever, ever. You could never have told Zechariah. Can you imagine a scenario, a situation, that God would answer your prayer and give you a son and you not be thrilled about it? Oh, Zechariah would say, that's impossible. Oh, I'd be the happiest person in the world if I knew I was going to be the father of a son. Well, why did Jesus give the parable of this persistent widow? And what would be my reason for talking to you today? I felt led, I think I was, to give this particular parable and in the light of this story. And I wonder if there's anyone here. You used to pray for something, and you said to yourself, if God answered this prayer, I would be the happiest person on the planet. Can you imagine any scenario that you wouldn't be thrilled? Oh, if God answered this prayer, I would be the happiest person ever. You could never have convinced Zechariah that his prayer could be answered and he'd not be the happiest person in the world. But now what he used to want more than anything in the world is now being fulfilled, but it's under a cloud. And so, surprise, surprise, Elizabeth conceives. She brings forth the birth of a son. Turns out to be John the Baptist. And it's a time when his friends, as I said, came for the occasion for Zechariah to be burning incense. And they're all there. It's a celebration. And then turns out that as Zechariah comes out of the temple, and they say, Zechariah, what was it like? And he says, what's going on? He can't speak. And then, weeks later, it comes out that Elizabeth is pregnant. And people come up and say, Zechariah, no wonder, you're going to have a baby. This is wonderful. Congratulations. And he says, he's humiliated. He can't speak. What do we learn from the parable of this persistent widow? The story about the birth of John the Baptist. The answer is this. Two principles I want to bring to you today. Principle number one. Any prayer that is prayed in the will of God will be answered. How do you know that? Because 1 John 5:14. If anyone asks anything in his will, you're heard. Any prayer prayed in the will of God, you're heard. Now this phrase, you're heard, your prayer has been heard. If you want to be heard, what's the meaning? Well, it comes from the Hebrew shema. That you may know that ancient Israel, their famous slogan was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one word, the shema. But the word shamar means to hear, but it also means to obey. When a translator comes up with shamar, he's got to decide, is it obey or to hear? Which do you do? Well, it means to be heard in such a way that you will be obeyed. So if your prayer is heard in heaven, he will obey your request. So if your prayer is heard, that's the best news you can have. It means that God is going to answer it. And so 1 John 5:14, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So if you pray in the will of God, You heard. The way to be sure your prayer will be answered is if you pray in His will. Only problem is we don't always know we're praying in His will. In fact, that's why John went on to say, 1 John 5:15, if we know that He hears us, we know we have the answer. There are two ifs in 1 John. One, if we pray in the will of God, that's the first if. And if you pray in the will of God, you've been heard. But then the second if we know we've been heard. And you see, it's possible to pray in the will of God and not know you have prayed in the will of God. You might say, well, if you're sufficiently spiritual, you would know if you've been heard. Well, maybe. I'd have to be honest with you. There may have been times in my life when I prayed in God's will and I knew I was heard. I will admit that has happened, but I also admit it doesn't happen often. Oh, you may say, well, R.T., if you were more spiritual, you would know when you're heard. What about the Apostle Paul? Would you question his spirituality? I seem to recall him saying, Romans 8:26, we don't always know what to pray for. Even Paul said that. We pray with groanings that cannot be uttered, and the Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. And so the Holy Spirit will pray in the will of God, but you don't always know what the Holy Spirit is saying. And so we don't always know we're being heard. The point being, it's possible to pray in the will of God, but you're not really sure you prayed in the will of God. Well, what happened was that when Elizabeth and Zechariah, in the first year or two of their marriage, maybe the first 5 years, maybe the first 10 years, they prayed for a son. But they didn't feel a thing. What they couldn't have known was that in heaven, the angel said, yes. But they didn't know that. In fact, the first time they prayed it, they prayed in the will of God, but they didn't know that. You say, well, why didn't God tell them? Well, you tell me. Or I think I know why possibly He doesn't tell you. And that is to test your earnestness, to see how much you want it. And there are other reasons. And there are times when you put a prayer request to God and you think, I sure wish He would answer my prayer. And what happens often is after you pray it a week or two, you think, well, that's not going to be answered, and you tear it up. And I suppose, I'm guessing, but it would seem from the context that Zechariah and Elizabeth had long since quit praying for a son. It seemed He wasn't going to answer, God was not going to answer, and they were reconciled to it. And then one day, Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says, your prayer has been heard. And Zechariah doesn't have a clue what Gabriel's talking about. Let me ask you a question. Suppose Gabriel came to you and said, your prayer has been heard. Would you know what it meant? Or would you say, well, no, wait a minute, which prayer? I've got a list. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. I'm praying for this. I'm praying for that. Or would there be something that's so important to you that you would know, oh, this is good news. I know what it is. I'll be honest with you. In my case, if I got that today, I can tell you, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I can tell you that there's something I want really big time. And if I got that today, I'd know what it was because it's so important to me at this moment. But generally speaking, you know, you could be told your prayer has been heard, And you could think of many requests. In any case, Zechariah didn't believe the angel. Now, there are two principles I want us to see. Principle number one, any prayer that is prayed in the will of God will be answered. But the second principle is the shape answered prayer takes is determined by our readiness at the time. Zechariah wasn't ready. Not only was he not ready, he'd quit praying that probably years before, and it wasn't even on his radar screen. He couldn't imagine what the prayer request was. This is why Jesus gave us this parable. He encourages you, don't give up. And he gives this parable illustration of this persistent widow that goes to this judge every day, every day, every day, every day, and says, avenge me of my adversary. I'll tell you something interesting about that request. It's not what I would call a spiritual request. You see, sometimes we think, unless it's a very spiritual, godly request, God's not going to listen to you. Well, it's good if you've got spiritual requests, you want to get closer to God, you want revival. You know, I can think of spiritual things, but this widow, she just wanted vindication. She wanted vengeance. It's just a hint that God knows where we are and what is on our hearts. And he gives this illustration, and the unjust judge, he's not a kind man. He's certainly not a godly man. He doesn't even believe in God. But he's a judge who gets sick and tired of this widow bothering him day after day after day after day, maybe years for all I know. And finally he says, I am up to here with this woman. I'm going to give her what she wants. And he does. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father do this for his chosen ones, his own people? How much more? But then at the end of the parable, curious question, very interesting. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, that verse is usually applied to the second coming of Jesus. And I don't question that. It does mean that. But why that question right here? It's the only time it's in the Bible. Why here? I think I know. It's because after you pray for so long, you give up and you're not believing anymore for that. And then God steps in and answers your prayer and you're not ready for it. And that's exactly what happened with Zechariah. His prayer was heard. And one day God says, now is the time. I put this question, the title of my sermon today, are you ready for answered prayer? Zechariah wasn't ready. And the very thing he wanted more than anything in the world, now situation changed. And when it does come, he gets it. He's not allowed to enjoy it. And I'll tell you another thing very interesting. His unbelief does not abort the answered prayer. You see, with some people, they would say, well, if you're not believing, you're not going to get it. I can't understand why they say that. But in this case, Zechariah didn't believe it. He argued back. Said, it can't be. Oh, yes, it can. Elizabeth is pregnant in a few weeks, and now the baby is born. John the Baptist comes. It's a new era. And Zechariah is kept from enjoying what he used to want more than anything in the world. You may think you're ready for answered prayer. You may think, well, if I get what I've asked for, I will be the happiest person in North Carolina. Really? What's the purpose of this sermon today? Well, could it be that someone here, you need to go back to the old prayer list, something you gave up on, salvation of a loved one, healing, better job, raise in pay, whatever. Who knows but what you were heard, but God didn't tell you for some reason. Why is it that God doesn't answer our prayer? Here's my theory. God likes your company. And he doesn't answer your prayer, so you keep asking him. And when he answers your prayer, you'll say, thanks a lot, Lord, and goodbye. You get what you want. And God wants you to keep talking to him. Two things God wants you to know: his word and his ways. You know his word by reading the Bible. You know his ways the way you get to know anybody's ways. You spend time with them. My wife knows my ways. TR knows my ways. You know the ways of those close to you. You spend time with them. And you get to know God's ways by spending more time with him. And that is certainly one reason. I suggest you go back to that old prayer request. Who knows? Maybe God has sent me to get you to go back to that prayer list, maybe in the nick of time. Maybe he's going to answer it, and you'll be found believing and waiting. And it's a wonderful moment when you are still asking for what you've always wanted. Don't give up. That's the point of the parable. Jesus gave the parable to urge you, don't give up. And as I said, this is not necessarily a spiritual request. I was preaching in Jerusalem at the Garden Tomb. And I think there were 1,500 people there at the Garden Tomb. I was just asked to speak. Nobody knew who this preacher was going to be. They'd just come for the Garden Tomb. But I spoke and they stayed and listened to me. After the sermon, a couple come up to me and say, Dr. Kendall, do you recognize us? Well, I love it when people do that. And I would say, well, you're trying to be a good politician. Your face is familiar. Well, we're from Edinburgh, Scotland. And you came to our church a few years ago and you preached a sermon called, Are You Ready for Answered Prayer? I said, yeah, I know that sermon very well. Well, we were there and we heard the sermon and we realized that we used to pray to get to come to the Holy Land. And after your sermon, we decided to start praying again that we could come to the Holy Land. Here we are. Fancy meeting you here. I preached this sermon in Alamorada, Florida. There was a couple there praying for a baby. When I finished the sermon, he said to his wife, I bet you're pregnant. She said, I bet I'm not. He said, I bet you are. And she was. They had a little boy. They named him Zachariah. They call him Zach. The point is, yes, you can have spiritual requests, but the fact that Jesus will use an illustration of a widow just wants vengeance, that means the field is open. My grandma used to say, say what you mean and mean what you say. How much more is that true when you're talking to God? Watch what you say. Any prayer prayed in the will of God will be answered. The shape it takes is determined by our readiness at the time. Heavenly Father, take this word, apply it by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.